You're listening to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
Welcome to Magical Moments with Elena Chapman, the place for you to break free from the norm and celebrate your life, because what we believe in our hearts becomes our reality. This is Magical Moments with Elena Chapman.
You are listening to Magical Moments, and I'm your host, Elena Chapman. And as you know, this show is all about that ease and that betterment in your life. And what better time to have ease and betterment than right now? Now, okay, guys, I have a magical nugget for you. Always do. And this one, though, I have to say, I was listening. I've been listening to everyone, and everybody's telling me this quote-unquote, the new norm. Oh, my gosh. And they say it with such dread. This is going to be the new norm. No, it is not going to be the new norm. We are not going to be stuck in our homes for the rest of our lives. And I think that's so silly. But what is wrong with a new norm? Can things go back to the way they were? I don't think anything can go backwards. Why? Because during this time, believe it or not, no matter what you have done, you have grown. Now, what direction you have grown was your choice and still is your choice, but you have grown. So no, we won't go back totally to what it was. But why can't this new norm be something really cool? Why can't this new norm be something where you finally understand how to get a little bit of balance in your life? How you don't always need to be running around like a chicken with his head cut off, doing a million different things. How about this new norm is starting to notice the really good friends you have and starting to build on that, keeping those good friends really good friends and not just, oh, I'm too busy now. And what about if this new norm made us see our kids in a different light? Maybe we started to have a lot of fun with them. Maybe that's something we want to keep including right now. Yeah, the new norm, I don't understand why people are going into it with fear. It is a start. You have the time to think about, what do you want to create? And everyone, when I say those words, they say, oh, Elena, there you go again. No, I need a job. Well, darn it, you know what? Yes, you do if you don't have a job. So what do you want to do about it? What do you want to do about it? You want to go into this new norm with total woe is me? Or do you want to go into the new norm with, okay, I've got to look for different options and sit down with that hot cup of tea and a pad of paper? Allow yourself to relax. Start writing down your talents. Start looking down for different opportunities during this time. Start discovering. The new norm is our chance. My dad used to say this, out of every chaotic or terrible time, there is always opportunity. Isn't that funny? I remember that. That's a good thing to remember. So this is our time. This new norm is our opportunity. Don't miss it. Now, today, I have a very cool show for you. This is a show that I want you to stay totally open-minded. This is the new norm. It's a new norm bringing in new ideas. And just think about it. Why not? And I also want you to... Yeah, I want you to kind of envision what it would be like to open up that part of you, that intuition, all those gifts of the spirit. You know, the imagination, the intuition, the memory, the reasoning, the perception, and that wonderful, wonderful, wonderful will. Those are the gifts of the spirit. And just saw things in a little bit different way. You're definitely going to love her. She's a doll. And I want to tell you a little bit about her. Her name is Julie Ryan. Not Julia. Sorry about that. It's Julie Ryan. And she is an inventor and an entrepreneur and an author who learned how to be a psychic and a magical, intuitive. And she's done this for more than 25 years. First, she started inventing a number of globally used surgical devices and founded 9 companies across the medical, long-term care, natural gas, advertising, and data privacy industries. She then settled into her talents, and her talents as a psychic and medical intuitive were born. She started writing books, The Angelic Attendants. I love that. What really happens as we transition from this life into the next? And another book, Angel Messages for Kids. Love that. Oh, that's just precious. Her podcast is called Ask Julie Ryan, and it has listeners from all over the world, many who call in to partake in Julie's buffet of psychicness. I love that. And with that, I would like to bring Julie on. Hello, Julie.
Hello, hello.
How are you today?
I'm well, thank you. Thanks for having me on your show.
Oh, I am very excited to have you on the show, actually. Well, for many, many, many reasons. And first, I want to start to, you know, okay, so you were an inventor.
That's right.
Oh my gosh, and you created probably a lot of medical devices that we use now.
That's right. Orthopedic surgery devices that are sold throughout the world.
Oh my gosh. Do you know, I'm right up in, not about 2 towns up from me. We have a big giant industry that produces all those medical arms and legs and everything else, you know?
That's right. That's right. I licensed my first invention to Zimmer, which is based there.
Right up the road from you.
Yes, I've been there many times. Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Isn't that funny? It's still being sold after 30 years globally.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I am so impressed. That takes a very special... Well, you already were clicked into that gift of the imagination and that intuition. You were already there. You had to be an inventor.
Correct, because I have a communication degree. I don't have a medical background, and I'm not an engineer, and I'm not a physician or a nurse. So, yes, you're right.
That's so funny. Huh. Well, I have a music degree. So there we all morph into different things, don't we? Yeah. Very, very good. Well, all right. So what actually clicked? What was it that just said, okay, I'm doing really well with this invention stuff. Everybody's using my stuff, but no, I'm going to give it all up and become a psychic.
Well,
what happened there?
It didn't quite work that way. What happened was I always had multiple companies going at the same time in different industries. As you mentioned, I've founded companies in a bunch of different industries. And so in 2015, I sold my medical device manufacturing company and decided to do a podcast and decided to write a book. And I still have a couple of companies that are running. And I have wonderful people that run them. And so most of my time is doing the medical intuitive and psychic and medium stuff, just because it's so much fun, Elena. It's just a blast. But how it all got triggered was going on 30 years ago, I had a birthday gift from a girlfriend given to me, a book called Anatomy of the Spirit by Carolyn Mace, who calls herself a medical intuitive. And I had been in the hospital supply industry for years at that point. And I thought, what the heck is a medical intuitive? I'd never heard that word before. And so I read her book and I was interested to know more. And back then we didn't have the internet really yet. And we certainly didn't have Amazon. Yeah. So I did the old-fashioned thing, and I went to a bookstore to see what else I could find.
I still like going to bookstores. Oh, yeah. I love bookstores. That's my day, you know?
Absolutely. So yeah. I thought, well, they'll probably have more woo-woo stuff, my word. They'll have more woo-woo stuff at the bookstore than at the library. And I went to the bookstore, and I found a book called Hands of Light by a former NASA physicist called Barbara Brennan. And she took very complex quantum physics principles and distilled them into understandable English for the non-scientific mind. That would be me. And so I read her book and I wanted to know more. And she talked about how to use energy fields to help facilitate healing. And I was fascinated. So I called her school to find out if there was anyone in my area teaching. And sure enough, there was. And so I studied with this woman for 6 years in Nashville. I was living in Nashville at the time. And that's how it all began. And now I teach classes all over the world. I started a year ago. They're online. And I believe I've had close to 75 people go through my classes in the first year from 6 different countries. Got to speak English to take my classes. But but my feeling about this work, Elena, is that if I can teach someone to read, they have access to any information in the written word. Likewise, if I can teach someone to communicate with spirit, which we all do, whether we recognize it or not, we all come in with the ability. If I can teach someone to communicate with spirit, they can take it anywhere they want. That's why I say I'm a buffet of psychicness. You can do medical intuitive stuff. You can scan animals. You can communicate. You know, you could be a Dr. Doolittle and communicate with animals. You can talk to dead people. You can talk to spirits that are attached to bodies who are alive. You can do past life stuff, future stuff, talk to angels. I mean, whatever. And it's just amazing how people from all walks of life, after they take my class for 4 weeks, they are able to do all this stuff that I do.
That's fantastic. All right, so tell me a little, let's learn a little bit more about this medical intuitive. What is a medical intuitive? Let's start there.
A medical intuitive, my description, is someone who can utilize energy fields, because everything's energy. Everything's made of energy. Go back to your third grade science classes. You know, we're taught that everything is made of energy, vibrating quickly, vibrating slowly. It's all the same thing. And so I utilize energy fields to connect with people anywhere in the world. And I can see in my mind's eye the equivalent of looking at an X-ray or a CT scan or an MRI. I'm like a human MRI. So I identify problems that are medical issues, and then I watch energetic healings. It's spirit working through me and in conjunction with me. And I watch energetic healings that can take the form of something getting added, something getting removed. Oftentimes I watch procedures that emulate what I saw in operating rooms and other departments of the hospital and medical providers. Sometimes I see healings that utilize methodologies and devices that haven't been invented yet. But many of my clients will have healings from this energy healing that will show up on subsequent MRIs or CT scans or X-rays. And I've had doctors over the years call me and say, okay, what are you doing with my patient and how does this work? So what I do, I believe, complements Western medicine and Eastern medicine, for that matter, as we know it. It's an adjunct. I have many doctors and scientists that send clients and patients to me when they can't figure out what's going on.
That's very nice. Yeah, that's very cool. So with this medical intuitive and the Western medicine, they listen to you.
They do, because when their patient goes in and, for instance, I see healings that generate whole new organs in the body. I've seen that. And then the organs show up on a subsequent CT scan. And then I'll have a doctor call me and say, okay, this person was a kidney transplant patient. And now they have a normal functioning kidney that looks perfect. What are you doing? And so they'll call me and they'll want to know how this works. And then it just expands their horizons. So our medical business, as with all of us, as we've become more well-educated in the past 100 years, we're fact-based, we're proof-based, we want to see proof. And so when medical providers see the proof and they say, well, gosh, 2 months ago you were in here and you were really in critical condition, or it was bad, you were really sick and now you're not, what happened? And they tell them about working with me, then that piques their curiosity and they want to know more.
Very cool. That's very interesting. I do like that. Well, with the medical intuitive, you have, now correct me if I'm wrong, but do you have like a system that you do to diagnose this and to work with people? Or is it that you just can look at them, look at their energy field, and you can tell where there are holes or things are not right in the energy field?
I do it a little differently, perhaps, than other medical intuitives that you've read about or spoken with. I raise my vibrational level to the level of spirit, because we're all spirits attached to a body having a human experience. Most of us have heard that phrase. And when we're attached to a body, we vibrate more slowly simply because the body has mass. So I turn my abilities on and off at will. It takes me a nanosecond to turn them on. I close my eyes. For instance, if I was going to scan you, I'd watch a laser beam come from my body here in Birmingham, Alabama, would hook into you up in Indiana. I would have a hologram of you in my mind's eye. I would envision shooting energy from your feet up through the top of your head. And then the energy is always going to go where it's most needed first. I see actual body parts, like I'm looking at an x-ray or a CT scan. A lot of medical intuitives will look at energy blocks and things like that. And certainly I can do that. But what I do is way more detailed. Like if the energy goes to your left kidney, we're going to be exploring your left kidney to find out what's going on. And as soon as something's identified, an energetic healing begins. And like I said, a lot of this emulates what I saw in operating rooms for all those decades I was in and out of surgeries, developing products and training surgeons and stuff like that. So although I'm not somebody who took a lot of anatomy and physiology, I know what a liver looks like. I know what a kidney looks like. I know what I'm watching in my mind's eye as far as the healing and its spirit working through me. And I'm very descriptive with my clients, Elena, about what I'm seeing. Because as you know, if we can envision something, our body's going to follow it.
Yes.
I talk in analogies a lot.
It's true.
And I use the analogy of if you walk into a movie theater and you're watching a scary movie, you know it's pretend because you've paid to go watch this movie. But your heart may feel like it's going to jump out of your chest at any given moment, right?
That's right. The body's
always going to follow what the brain is showing it. And so I'm very descriptive. And then we'll make several passes. So let's say the energy goes to your liver first. We'll do a healing on that. And then I'll do another swipe and the energy goes to your left elbow. And we'll do a healing on that. And then the energy goes wherever. And certainly my clients will give me a checklist. I've got this, this, and this going on. But I always go in blind first because I want to see where the energy is going to go first, because the most critical thing's always going to show up first. And then the third thing that I do, so number one, something's identified. Number two, there's a healing, several of them. And then the third thing I do is I look at what I call the energy field membrane. And that is the container that holds the energy that comprises our body and our spirit. Imagine it being like a plastic bag with really thin, stretchy saran wrap consistency. And when I see a tear or a hole in that, I envision going into that and I'm shown some kind of a scene of an emotional event that's happened either in this lifetime or a past lifetime. I'm given what the year was, where you were, what was going on. If it's a past life, I get all that information.
Like that. And
then
that's very cool.
We can correlate it. And so an example of all of this put together that I use a lot is, imagine if you go to the pet store to buy a goldfish, they're going to put it in a plastic bag of water.
Right.
You got a picture of that in your mind's eye. The goldfish represents our body. The water represents our spirit because the body's inside the spirit. And the plastic bag represents our energy field membrane. If there's a pinhole in that plastic bag and water is leaking out a drop at a time, for a long time, that fish is going to be okay. But when enough water leaks out, that fish is going to be in trouble. And that's what I see happen to the human body. There's always an energy leak that precedes any kind of medical condition. We fix that leak, the body membrane, the energy field membrane heals, the body is able to heal itself and maintain health.
That's phenomenal. I love the way you describe it too. When you have a person, does it take more than once? I mean, one healing and bingo, that aura field, that the energy field is fixed, the hole is fixed, they start feeling better, the liver. And is there has to be a level of responsibility on their part also. Like if their kidney's bad or their liver's bad, maybe it's what they're eating and drinking and doing, you know? Can you raise a little bit of awareness on that?
Yes. There always, the healing will happen on the energetic level. I know that sounds very hippy-dippy woo-woo, but that's what it is. We have energy fields that if you look, if you've ever seen a picture of somebody's aura, well, I mean, heck, an EKG, you got electrodes on the outside of the body monitoring the heart. It's monitoring the energy field is what's going
on. Exactly.
EEG, EKG, same thing. So the healing happens on the energy field, Elena, and then it will integrate into the body, and it can happen instantly in an instant change in symptoms. It may take days, weeks, months. It may need, to your point, some kind of complementary care, change in diet, physical therapy, chiropractic surgery, even chemo, whatever. And I get the information that, you know, right, what the adjunct care is. And then sometimes it's always the spirit, well, not sometimes, it's always the spirit's choice to utilize the healing in a way that's going to best allow them to experience whatever it is we want to experience in this lifetime, whatever our spirit wants to experience.
That makes sense.
And
explain that. Wait, but well, that's important. That is so important for us, because we think, well, why aren't I just conquering this so easily? And that's something that we have to learn, because I talk about it all the time. I would love to hear someone else say it.
Our spirit lives many, many lives, and that's throughout the Bible and all religious texts. It's sometimes it's edited out in different versions, but it's there's proof beyond any doubt that we live multiple lives. And I'd like to come back to that because I have fun stories about
that. Oh, we will.
So we come in with things we want to explore. And I say life is a crossroads of destiny and free will. I stole that from a friend named Brandon Beecham, who coined that phrase. Life is the crossroads of destiny and free will. The destiny would be things we want to explore, and they're very general. And then the free will is there are a million ways we can explore it. For instance, we want to explore betrayal. And I'll see it in multiple lifetimes in a row. So maybe in one lifetime, you're working at a company and the company fires you and accuses you of something you didn't do. That would be one form of betrayal. And then perhaps the next lifetime, you're betrayed by a spouse or a lover or a friend or whatever.
Yes.
But remember, there's no time in the spirit world. Time is a human invention.
Totally.
So 100 years to us may not even be a blip on the radar
right,
in the spirit world.
Yes.
And the other analogy that I use a lot is, did you see the movie A Star Is Born with Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper a couple of years ago?
I did. Yeah. Well, was that a good one?
It was great, but it was the fourth remake of the same movie. I saw it when I was in college with Streisand and Chris Christopherson.
Me too.
Yeah. So, you know, you think about same script, different time, different setting, different cast of characters. Let's look at it from a different vantage point, same script. So that's what I see repeat through multiple lifetimes. And then when we're done exploring whatever that is, and I think there are multiple things we explore, once we're done exploring that, then we go back to non-physical, we go to heaven, and we cook up something else we want to explore. And then we come back and we reincarnate, and then we explore that. So.
Yes.
That's my take on it.
It is. And so when we are going through something in this life, it is what it's supposed to be for you to experience. It doesn't mean you just lay back and just let it happen. You have free will. You can heal. You can change your path. You can do whatever. But the important thing, I always say, this life is for us to experience. And it evolves us. That's why we're here. We're here to evolve. So all those experiences, and usually, guys, I think we usually experience a contrast, unfortunately. So like for me, I have this thing about freedom. My soul was about freedom. Okay. And even when I was 10 years old, I was walking through the neighborhoods, having everybody sign up to Free the Wolves. Okay. That's how I am. I'd stick up for the bullies. For the people being bullied. I have a horrible feeling when anyone is oppressed. So guess what, folks? So here I am all about this freedom, but what do I find in my life all the time? Different ways that I get oppressed. Do you see how the lesson works? Because it's through that oppression and feeling it that I understand what freedom really is. It's very interesting how we choose to live on this earth. I would love to live where it's freedom and I'm with the daffodils and the flowers and the water and just free as a bird. But that's not the way it was until you realize it. And then you have the choice to conquer it and move forward. And that's where you come in. If you can give people that awareness of where they are, then they have a choice of what to do about it.
I have a trick that I teach people I'd love to share. I call it a trick. What I teach is our heads are big satellite dishes, and they receive and they transmit frequencies. Like your radio station is broadcasting on a frequency. So exactly. when we bring in thoughts, thoughts don't originate in our heads. Thoughts originate in the ethers out there. We pull them in based on what we're thinking about at any given time. And we can change that frequency. In the spirit world, there's no right or wrong. There's just an experience. We assign an emotion and a right or wrong, a judgment in our human form. And we need to, because that's the form we chose to come in. But a thing that can really happen is to realize thoughts don't originate in our heads. And when we pull them in, we assign immediately, without even knowing it, an emotion to it. Emotions are based either in joy or fear. We're hardwired for fear. You talked about that earlier in your open. You know, we're all hardwired for that. We're looking for that saber-toothed tiger around the corner that's going to come eat us.
Oh my gosh, it's going to jump out and eat us. Yep.
That's right. Now there are joy, obviously, love, joy, anything that feels good is based in love. And that's our natural state. That's our spirit. All spirits are based in love. Anything that feels bad is based in fear. And there are two kinds of fear. There's rational fear and there's irrational fear. Rational fear is something's going to kill you. You better change the conditions. Irrational fear is everything else. It's false. So when we feel bad, here's the trick. You ask yourself, is this going to kill me in the next 2 minutes? If it is, if you're in the middle of the road and the truck is heading down the road, get your cute butt out of the road before you get run over, right? If it's not, if whatever is making you feel bad, whatever you're thinking, if it's not going to kill you in the next 2 minutes, you know it's false. It's an irrational fear. It's fake news. It's false. Yeah. As soon as you do that and you go to curiosity and you ask that question, Elena, you disrupt that channel that those thoughts are coming in and you're on a different channel and it will immediately feel better. And know that everything's unfolding perfectly to your point. It's all an experience. And when we use the 2 minute rule, I say it's free and it's convenient because wherever your brain is, you can use it. Your brain's usually with you wherever you are, right?
It is, so, yeah.
So the 2 minute rule, you can say, okay, how is this benefiting me? It may be benefiting you in a multitude of ways you haven't thought of. It may be benefiting you just in illustrating something that's a false belief, something that's an irrational fear. And when you reverse engineer those irrational fears, you know how we all go into that black hole of, oh my God, if I get COVID, then I'm not going to be able to go to the hospital. There won't be a bed for me and there won't be a respirator and there won't be my family won't be able to, I mean, before you know it, you're like in this black hole of all this nonsense that you've made up.
That you made up.
Bad. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So it's fake. It's false. It's fake,
fake
news. It's all fake. So use the 2 minute rule. Is this going to kill me in the next 2 minutes? And you can use it for anything. Standing in line at the grocery store, being in traffic, you know, during normal circumstances. Yeah. Somebody says something that hurts your feelings. And then, you know, how we go down that black hole of, oh, they don't like me.
Funny.
They're going to tell others. I'm blah. It's nonsense.
It is. It is. That's sort of like
so much more joyful if you use the 2 minute rule.
Oh, it's much more joyful. You are listening to Magical Moments, and I'm your host, Elena Chapman, and we're talking to Julie Ryan right now. We are going to be right back. And I'll tell you what, we're going to delve a little bit more into how she knows about this wonderful reincarnation and even some fun, like, what is your cat really saying about you?
This is Magical Moments with Elena Chapman, helping you find your ease and betterment. Stay tuned for more of this week's featured interview.
Welcome back to 30 Minute Moments. And I'm your host, Elena Chapman, a little more ease and betterment in this half. And we're talking to Julie Ryan. Let's talk about the 12 phases of transition. I know you mentioned that in your process. What is that all about?
When we're dying, when any human is dying, they go through what I perceive and what I've coined as the 12 phases of transition. And we're all surrounded by angels and our deceased loved ones. And they take a different configuration during this process. And the 12 phases everybody goes through when they're dying, whether it's an instant death, like in the case of a suicide or a homicide or a car accident, you'll hear, okay, they died instantly, or something that's very prolonged. I had a gal call into my show for 2 years, and her father was dying of Alzheimer's. She was in Dayton, Ohio, not far from you. And her father was in phase 11 of 12 for 2 years.
Oh,
and so it can take days, weeks, months, even years to go through these. And it's based on, the interesting thing for me about this is I was raised Roman Catholic, 12 years of Catholic schools. And at the end of every Catholic funeral, they say a prayer called In Paradisum. In Paradisum, in Latin, says the angels and your loved ones will greet you and lead you into paradise. That's what I see with these 12 phases of transition. And interestingly enough, Elena, I thought, well, people must have been able to see this since the beginning of time, because as we've become more well-educated, we've kind of tamped down our intuitive abilities that we all come in with.
Yes, and we have. I think it's actually been pushed on us to push them down, really.
I agree.
To not trust them. Yeah.
Control of the masses by religion.
Control of the masses.
I agree.
Yeah, you can't have control if everybody is saying, I feel, I don't think this is right.
That's
right. Oh my gosh, you lose control.
Right.
Yeah.
So when I was writing Angelic Attendance, and that's another fun story how that all came about, I'll tell you in a second. I did some research to find out when In Paradisum originated, how far back.
Now that I do not know.
What I found was it originated as a Gregorian chant in the 5th century. And so certainly it's feasible that it took till the 5th century till people were well-educated enough to be able to read and write about what they were experiencing when somebody was dying. And furthermore, some of the most well-educated people were men in monasteries and synagogues. They were the keepers of their records. They were writing the manuscripts. You know, they were transcribing the stories. And I find that fascinating, that I believe that really since the beginning of time, people have been able to witness these 12 phases of transition.
Well, yes, it is. It is interesting. Well, people were much more in tune with that. I mean, even the Gnostic religion, which was right before the Christian, they were very much into the ethereal. They were very much into, they were Christian, but they were very much into the ethereal side. So, yes, they were, the Catholics probably even got it from the Gnostics, that because they would be there, they would know, you know.
Well, in all religions and all cultures, I mean, even back to the ancient Greeks, you know, you look at any religion, they're all talking about angels and spirits and the elders and
every modality too. All modality. That's
right.
Because spirit is absolutely everywhere. You can't miss it. You know, spirit is in every blade of grass, in the air we breathe, it is everywhere. So it's natural for us when we have time, like now, for us to go out in nature and to feel it. And it's right there.
Right.
You know?
So how the book came about was about 10 years ago, I had this spirit guide show up, and, you know, I can talk to dead people. I've honed my abilities that I learned how to do, and this is what I teach in my classes. And it was this dead pope that showed up, and he had his whole pope outfit on. And I said to him, well, who are you? And he said, I'm Pope Clement. And I said, there was a Pope Clement? I didn't know of a Pope Clement.
Yeah.
And he said, yeah, I was number 6. He was laughing. And I said, okay, may I help you? And he said, yeah, you need to write a book about what you see when somebody's dying. And I said, no, you don't understand. I'm a businesswoman. I'm not doing that. People will think I'm nuts. And he said, yeah, whatever. This is part of why you're here. is to educate the world about what happens when somebody's dying, because it's a glorious event. Yes, it's heartbreaking for their loved ones, but people are surrounded by angels and their deceased loved ones and the spirits of their deceased pets. And he said it's been so bastardized over the millennia that people need to understand what's really going on, and you just need to get on with it and all of that. And I said, yeah, well, whatever. So later on that day, I looked up Pope Clement VI just for kicks, Elena.
Yes.
I learned he was in office during the Black Plague when 2/3 of Europe died.
Yeah.
He's best known for his prayers for the dying and his prayers for the dead. And I thought, Ryan, you can't make this stuff up.
No.
And so it really took me several years to get the, I say, golden ovary courage to be able to write the book and release it and just say, okay, if people think I'm nuts, then they think I'm nuts.
Exactly.
But the response has been so overwhelming to the point where my church, my parish, gives my book out to every family that comes in to plan a funeral. It's being used in Sunday school classes around the country. It's being used in synagogues. It's being used
Fabulous.
In book clubs. And it gives so much comfort and information to people who either have a loved one who's dying or who have just lost a loved one.
I think on a basis, when someone does lose someone, they really do want to know more. No one wants to think that you are in a hole in the ground and that's the end of you. You know what I mean?
That's right.
And it can't be, because we're energy. We're energy. And it just cannot be. Energy does not die. It is. So where does it go? And that's where the curiosity comes.
And that's what you hear about in my book, what's happening. There's lots of information about the afterlife. There's lots of information about near-death experiences. There's lots of information about how to grieve, Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, all of that. But there's not much, I found in my research, about what's happening when we're actually dying. And I think that's part of
the
fear as well. And our pastor at our parish, at our church, an Irish priest named John Fallon, who's just fabulous, he laughs, and he's from the pulpit, he'll say, yeah, we're afraid of whether or not we're going to fly. Are we going to fly or are we going to fry when we die? Which is hilarious. And
that is funny.
So true.
Yeah, that's what people are afraid of. They're so afraid.
Because we've been taught that.
They'll be judged and sent to burn. I mean, we've been all the way when I was growing up. That's the way it was. It still is. I think it's even worse sometimes here now and nowadays. It seems harsher. And so it is time for us to open the door on that. I'm glad. And that process of dying, I always feel that it is a release. And it's a release of this life in gradual steps. You start to transfer. My dad died in 2002 of Lou Gehrig's. And then when my mom was so fortunate to meet a wonderful, wonderful man, he died of cancer, 2 in 10 years. That was a lot for her. But I saw a lot of death. Then her dog died. My poor mom. Oh my gosh. But it was just, they all seem to go through. You're right. It is different phases. And each one went through it at a different time. It was what they could go through to. It's almost a level of acceptance, I think.
Well, it's fun when I get to comfort. It's fun for me, and an honor and a privilege, obviously, to work with families, when they're going through such a heartbreaking time. But when I can identify who the family member spirits are in the room, and I describe them, and I describe what the pets look like, and often there'll be somebody's grandmother maybe who grew up on a farm, and I'll say, there are farm animals in the room. There are cows and chicks and pigs. Did grandma grow up on a farm? And I'll describe what some of the animals look like, a black horse, a dairy cow. And they'll say, oh yeah, that's grandma's, they were her pets. And so it gives them so much comfort, and to know that they're surrounded by angels and all of this. It's just, and interestingly enough, there's a lot of research that's been done. There's a physician who's a hospice director in Buffalo, New York, and his name's Chris Kerr, K-E-R-R, and he's done all kinds of research, I think with about 3,000 patients, and a huge percentage of them, Elena, talk about that they're seeing their loved ones who are deceased and they're describing them and they're having conversations with them. Sure. Hospice information a lot of the time will even say that.
Sure. Now, as I promised, we're going to talk a little bit about what does our past life, if there is a past life, how does that play into our life now? Julie, maybe you can shed some light on that.
Well, as we talked about earlier, we have these different scripts, if you will, to explore through multiple lifetimes that we see. And so we look at them from different perspectives. And you mentioned earlier, and I agree, that we expand out from each experience. I use the analogy of climbing a set of stairs. You want to get to the top step. The top step is you're done exploring it. And let's say each step represents a different lifetime. So in one lifetime, you step on the bottom step, you're a cave person and you're exploring being betrayed. That just came to mind. And then the next life, you're something else and you're betrayed in a different way. And so you're expanding out and you're learning and experiencing all these different things as you go up. And then when you get to the top stairs, you're like, okay, I'm done with that. Let's figure out something else that would be fun to explore.
That, and that's what we had said before. It is. It's different lifestyle times. Different times we pop back down here to learn something, to evolve or to grow. Right. And so, but how does that care? How does one carry over into another life? Say something that happened in the life when you were in that cave. How does that affect the life after?
You find a different perspective to explore the same script. So betrayal in the cave is going to be different than when, let's say, you're living in the 1600s in Europe. And it's a different time, it's a different place, it's a different set of circumstances. And you're looking at a different nuance from a betrayal standpoint. Perhaps you're the one doing the betraying. Perhaps you're the wife of, the husband of, the colleague of, the child of, the whatever of. And so we're looking at it from a bunch of different vantage points to explore betrayal. Does that make sense?
Yes, totally. I think that's very clear. I don't even need to say anything more on that. That is very, very clear. If that's the truth, and it is in my mind too, but when we go through these different, say we're in this time, does that affect freedom of choice in any way?
It doesn't affect freedom of choice, but it gives us a different perspective on the same script. Let me give you an example. There's a client with whom I'm working who has metastasized prostate cancer, and it's all over his body.
Oh.
And he's the CEO of a very large publicly traded company. And so we got I got that there was a past life that was involved with this. And when I did the past life scan on him, that's what I call it, we got that he was a British admiral in charge of the Atlantic fleet in the late 1700s, and he's best known for some big battle with the French, some big naval battle with the French. We got his name, we got the years, we got all of that. We were
able to
corroborate all that information we got online with historical documents. I don't know that much about American naval history, let alone British naval history. I mean, I know. I'm not an expert on it. So there's no way I would have known this stuff. But what we got, there's always a correlation between a past life that shows up in our current life. What we got was he was so good at leading people. You know, he was head of the Atlantic fleet, for heaven's sakes, for, you know, the British Navy. And in this life, he's so good at leading people as the CEO of this massive company. What he wasn't good at and still isn't is being able to receive. He's good at leading. He's good at giving. He wasn't able to receive. And him getting the cancer in this life really brought him to his knees to the point where he had to allow his wife and his caregivers to help him. And that's not comfortable for him. So that's
funny how we choose to go through absolutely the worst experiences to learn what it is we need to learn.
And
I don't know. I always thought, I know that sometimes I need a 2x4 over the head to get where I'm going, but still, I keep saying, I would like a little more ease, and I'll try to receive in an easier way and faster so that we don't have to go through the very worst of everything. And that, but a lot of times it takes, if you're just like this man, he was so used to leading and not receiving, and two, maybe three lifetimes of that, it's going to take something hard, isn't it?
Right.
Fascinating.
The interesting thing also, the first time I heard about past lives was on Oprah, probably 30 years ago. I used to tape Oprah on my VCR, and she would have these little kits on there, and they would remember this stuff that they would corroborate with historic documents. I mean, these kids weren't even reading yet. And so that's how my children's book, Angel Messages for Kids, came about, because I had so many moms over the years, Elena, that would say, can you put something together that my small child can, I can explain to them how they know this historical information, because this child doesn't read yet. How does my child know about things that have to do with my grandfather's young life? My grandfather's been dead for 20 years. He's never even met my son, who's three. But my son says grandpa shows up in his bedroom at night. How do you explain to a small child grandma's body's in the casket, and but we're telling her that grandma's in heaven, and the four-year-old's going, that doesn't make sense.
No.
So one day I was feeling like I really needed to, you know, I'd had so many moms ask me to do this, and I thought, okay, I'm going to write a children's book. I'm telling you, within 10 minutes of saying that to my husband, I had a client that came in who was head of early childhood development. She's a consultant. She's head of it for Google. She did it for 20 years for PBS, all those children's shows. And I told her about it, and she said, yeah, do this. So everything all fell into line really fast. And then I asked my spirit guide, Pope Clement VI, I said, am I supposed to write a children's book? And he said, yeah. And he gave me some parameters, but then he said, it's got to be out in time for Christmas. Well, this was already in the fall, and I said, I can't get it done that fast. And he said, just do it. Yeah. So I paid my illustrator double to get it out in time for Christmas. It was published December 20th, got it out before Christmas. I was talking to a woman a couple weeks ago from Australia, and she said, well, now you know why Pope Clement wanted it out before Christmas. And I said, what do you mean? And she said, because of COVID. That's when it was starting to all ramp up. And all these little children around the world, they know what's going on. They hear the news. They hear their adults, their parents talking about this. And they know their lives are disrupted because they're home from school. She said, your book brings peace and comfort to these children.
That's right.
It explains what's going on and how there's nothing to fear. And I thought, well, you're absolutely right. I hadn't thought of it that way.
So if someone wants to get hold of you, especially for this book, because I think this book, my gosh, everyone, this book is so beautifully illustrated too. It's a gorgeous, gorgeous book. And I think kids right now, more than anyone, well, we all do. Maybe we'll get something out of that book too. I would think so. But kids need this. They need to understand more. I think if people could get hold of you to get this book and other things that you offer, how can they do that?
AskJulieRyan.com. AskJulieRyan.com. Everything's there. The books are available. Both my books are available anywhere you get books. Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Walmart, I mean, wherever. Apple Books.
Yes.
All over.
Good.
But if you go to AskJulieRyan.com, there's a link there that will take you to Amazon and
well, wherever. And they get to see some more things that you have to offer.
That's right.
What would you like to leave with people as a thought before we end the show?
That everything is happening in our benefit. You know, all this stuff that we're going through with this COVID and everything, it's all benefiting us in a multitude of ways. Pay attention to all the good things that are coming out of this. You talked about it in your open. Even the people that get COVID, it's affecting their immune system in a good way. You know, it's enhancing their immune system. The people who die from COVID, the statistics show they have comorbidity issues.
Yes.
This is the way they chose to exit. So it's everything's always unfolding perfectly for us in every situation.
It is. It really is. We just have to believe it. And everyone out there, this was a wonderful show. But But both Julie and I do say this is a new world, and it's what do you want to do? Of course, we always have things that we have to learn. But surprise, surprise, guys, when you choose that path, you are choosing subconsciously to live that experience in some way. The biggest freedom of choice we really, really do have most of the time is just how do we want to live through it. So if whatever path I choose, I am always learning. I am always learning what I'm here for. But it's how do I want to live? Do I want to be more receiving and open and learn how to deal with it with more ease and grace? Or do I want to take the hard road and suffer? And that is the truest freedom of choice. For everyone out there, I so enjoyed having Julie Ryan on the show. And she offers a different perspective that allows us to explore. And I love having guests that help us to explore. And I did want to talk, you know, because this is a time right now where we are trying to sort things out. This new norm, as I said in the beginning of the show. What is that? Our new norm, or better than that, what is to be ahead of us? Well, I say it's what you make, but a lot of us still might feel that unease. Isn't it nice? Isn't it nice to have a different perspective that you can start to look into? A perspective that you are always surrounded by loved ones that just love you, who have passed over. That you have a whole universe up there that really does love you. Even in the hard times. In fact, in the hard times, that's when they really are around you the most. And that you have freedom of choice for every experience, that you really are here to live experiences. All of a sudden, it lightens the load. Okay, so this is an experience, and how I want to live this, and then where I want to go chooses what experiences I will have in the future. And how I handle it, if I have grown or if I haven't grown. And it lets you know that everything is an experience. It's actually an experiment because we're here to learn. So what do you want to experience? What do you want to try having an experiment in? And how do you want to shape your life going forward? We've been shown a whole different way of living, living like our grandfathers and grandmothers, or maybe our great-grandfathers and great-grandmothers. Well, I think more my grandmother's grandfathers, but still, having, you know, they had more time for the family. I saw a post where one grandmother was saying, when times get rough, you just do the simple things and you do them step by step. And you get through, and it gives you confidence to deal with the bigger thing. I like that. But I also think when you know that this is a time when you can start fresh in so many ways. If you've lost your job, then what do you want to do? There's ways to make money that I can't even believe. I can't believe some of the things that people do to make money. There are jobs out there that just are way past when I was growing up. And I think what we have to do is start to see that we are here to evolve in everything we do. I don't know about you, but I want this life to be one that when I finally go to heaven, I want to say, man, was that a fun ride. I can't believe all the things I tried and experimented with and the experiences I saw. And I can't believe how much love I saw in this world and the lessons I've learned. Whether you believe in reincarnation or not, whether you believe you can talk to spirits or not, which seems so funny to me because a lot of times it's energy, but whatever, whether you believe that or not, having a life where you feel was fun, yes, challenges, but nothing we couldn't conquer, and it was a period of experience, experiencing everything we could possibly want to experience, whether that was in our career, whether that was in our relationships, whether that was in where we live, whether that was what we decided to do with our free time. All of that is experiences. And don't you want to feel that whether you're in heaven or you're just, you know, just slowing down, that you lived it to the fullest and that you had fun and you met incredible, fascinating, fun people that you loved well and deep, that you loved yourself, because when you loved yourself, it helped you to love others more and love life more. Isn't that what we all want for ourselves and for those we love? And right now, we have the time to plan and enter this new world norm ready. So, as always, I would like you to stay connected to yourself, stay connected to others from afar, and stay connected to Source, or my beloved God, and all the universe. Namaste. Oh, and by the way, if you're interested in talking about all sorts of concepts, we're going to be talking about identity. What is it? What do we identify with? How does it define us? Does it hold us back? Does it move us forward? Anyway, on Green Terra discussion and sharing group, every Thursday night at 7 o'clock, it's a free group I'm offering. If you go to Soul Manifesto, it pops right up. Join us, because I would love to hear your discussion. Maybe sometime we might talk about reincarnation. If we do, I want you there. I want to hear what you have to say. Because that's how we grow, from learning from each other. That's a very big way. I would love to have you. So again, go to soulmanifesto.com, click on Green Terra Group, put your email in there so I can send you the Zoom link, 7 o'clock Thursday nights Eastern Time. Love it, love it, love it. All right, again, namaste. Let's start this new world norm the way we really want to start it. This is Magical Moments, and I'm Elena Chapman, your host.
This has been Magical Moments with Elena, featuring Elena Chapman. If you missed an episode, download it now on iTunes, Spotify, TuneIn, CastBox, Deezer, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, or your favorite podcast platform. Learn more online at soulmanifesto.com.